Paul is a remarkable man. He knows he's going to his martyrdom. And he loves these people in Miletus. And so he's telling them and warning them, you know, there'll be some false shepherds come among you. Pick them out. Pay no attention to them. Because they've only come, even if they don't know it, to destroy. So, see, that's why the church is so, fights so hard for the truth of Christ. Yeah, that's the foundation, the force, the unity of the church, is the truth about God. And that's why the church is so ferocious about that. Because our existence as the body of Christ depends on the truth. And so then they prayed over him, as we're going to pray over Lucy after Mass today. Lucy's going back to China for the summer. Then she's coming back to keep working at the JP2 so that she can go home and build up the church in China. So we're going to pray over her. Now, what's the main thing that the Lord prays for? See, it balances well with what Paul was praying for. Because these ravenous wolves tear the flock apart through falsehood. Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me. Now, what name could that possibly be? What is the name of the Father? Father. How does the Father give his name to his Son? The Son, the Father's only Father because he has a Son. So from all eternity, this relationship of Father and Son, they're giving each other their names. And that bond from all eternity, that fire of that bond is the Holy Spirit. And so he's praying now, keep them one as we are one. Well, they are one in a way in the Holy Spirit. And so we have to pray that the Holy Spirit come. And as we already heard from Paul, division is always falsehood, lie, darkness. And then things like jealousy and sensuality. The devil knows that if the church, if we could get the church back together, you know, the whole world would come to believe. Because we'd be there radiating Christ. And how many people in the history of the church, and in our recent history, have given their lives for the unity of the church? I remember now, oh, I forgot her name, a Cistercian nun, Trappistine nun, Italian, who gave her life for the unity of the church. She thinks she's the one who wrote to Pope Leo about dedicating the church to the Holy Spirit. Anyway, some people get it. The need for the unity of the church. And by the mercy of God, we're moving in that direction now. Part of it is pressure from our enemies, but part of it is that we see we're in sin and we have to change. And so there's dialogue, you know, down in Bari, in southeastern Italy. Bari is a Greek town. It's been Greek since the 5th century BC. And it's still, there's Greek there, you know. And there's a dialogue between the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church taking place in Bari. This is, You know, the break came in 1098, so it's about time. Try to get it back together, right? And given human weakness and jealousy and all that sort of stuff, it took till now. One of the big steps was the Vatican Council. And they invited Orthodox observers to come, and they came. See, a lot of this is so human. I mean, because we're so stupid. A lot of this is just Italians and Greeks writing. You know, it's not really theology at all. But they're together, and they are working on unity. And maybe it'll be Pope Francis. You see, is there another way to run the church? Yeah. The Pope of Rome, the Bishop of Rome, can have a counseling body. What's the first thing Pope Francis did? It's not the Curia anymore. It's the counseling body around the Bishop of Rome. They're all Romans, you know, Romani. The one from the United States is Sean O'Malley, the one who gave the graduation last night. But they're all over the place, huh? And they're meeting in Bari, have been for years now, because it's symbolic. It's a Greek town. When I lived in Rome, this is not the homily I planned, but I'm thinking so much about this unity. There is a college in Rome, Collegio Greco, where the Greek-speaking priests of the Eastern Rite, Italians, for the most part, are formed. And that's why I went there. I prayed with them every Sunday, celebrated the liturgy with them, because it's so beautiful and so profound, you know. I was most of my life by ritual. I could celebrate neither rite. I haven't needed it around here. It'd be nice if I did, if you know, but that's another story. When I was with them, I protected them in your name. The name, Father. That's what will keep us one. To love the Father, to be in awe of the Father, to know how much he loves us, to really say, Abba. And you could teach a parrot, say, Abba, 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 Abba. But to say it is a work of the Holy Spirit. It means to share in the affection that Jesus has for the Father, to pray out of that love. Isn't that beautiful? And it's given to us. We just have to pay attention. Okay. Now I'm coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. One of the reasons he wants us one is because it's a joy to be one. And it's misery to be separated. Okay. I gave them your word, and the world hated them because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Whew. That's us he's talking about. Do we belong to the world no more than Christ belonged to the world? He's telling the Father that. We better make it true, right? What's on our minds all day? What's going on with us all day? You know? Are we pushed around by all the desires and passions and fears and jealousies and venality of the world? Or do we really live by the Spirit of God and care for each other? You see? I do not ask you that you take them out of the world. I want them in the world. I want my name to be known. I don't want them all to be hiding on a mountaintop. Some, yes. But I don't take them out of the world. I want them in the world. They don't belong to the world. But I don't say take them all out. I say keep them from the evil one. They're vulnerable in the world. And this evil one can... You want to see what he does? Just turn on the TV. And so, the last, our translation has consecrate them in the truth. It's probably better to say sanctify them in the truth. Agios. Agios, that's the Greek word for holy, comes from two words, a, which is a privative, and ye, earth. So agios means not stuck in this world. We have to breathe and eat like everybody else, but we don't have to be angry and jealous and sensual and vicious. And no, we don't. Okay. So your word is the truth. And now, and this is for us, well, just about ready to quit. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. Well, now, why did the Father send the Son? To save the world. To pray for the world. To preach to the world. To suffer for the world. So that's why I send them. Our job is to be the leaven for this poor world. We can do it in tiny ways. Just be friendly in the grocery store. But you've also got to do it bringing people to the Lord. As I consecrate myself, dedicate myself to this revelation, who you are, you see, so they, may they also be sanctified in the truth. Remember, he's the truth. He's that revelation of the Father. That's why he's the truth. So now we're supposed to be consecrated enough that they can see the Father in us. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now, how do we show forth the Father? First thing, unity. That's why the devil goes after it. In families, in communities, in churches, and now, please, we have something like, I can't believe this figure, but it's something like 40,000 sects, Christian sects in the world. What a great witness, huh? I mean, that's, can't we get it together? That's why, you know, when they started these dialogues in Bari, I was so excited. I mean, that's, you know, so beautiful. When the council started, Alexander Skrima came from the Orthodox Church. He's a theologian, a very good one. And Kongar, of course, was there too as a paretus. And he said to Skrima, when we finished this document on the church, he said, what do you think of it? He said, it's very good. This is so, then I got to quit, I know, but this is different mindsets, you know. He said, it's very good. Now, if we Orthodox were to make a document on the church, it would be just anthropology and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? We got bishops and priests and people, and they're all in the right spot, and they're all, you know, which is good. But they just, it would be about who's man and who's the Holy Spirit. So let's stand and pray.